91.5 WMFO. That was When Particles Collide, their brand new song Fight from the brand new EP Ecotone, which will be released on June 3rd. But the video just came out, so I could not wait to play that for you. Anyway, we have Desk coming in. They're going to be talking about their new record, All American Awesome. Going to play a few songs from it. We're going to chat a little bit. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, so stay tuned. But in the meantime, here's some Fire King, 91.5 WMFO.
Thank you. federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Hold on, we'll just five steps to those kids say. Repeat after me now, and you'll go far, right straight down the hole you're gonna dig today. It's time to educate the cool. We got to erase the board and do it again, do it again. Get the wisdom to the world. It's time to educate the cool. Got to erase the board.
WMFO, and that happens to be Desk with the opening track to All American Awesome. That is Wisdom to the World, and we have 40% of Desk right here.
Yes, that is true.
Is that just two legs or something?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Two legs, so it's a stool that falls over. Like,
well, don't I count as two people because I produced the record.
Yeah.
All right, fine. You know, whatever.
Okay, whatever.
You're driving me home, so fine.
If it makes you feel better.
Yep, I'm gonna be that guy.
What up, Phil?
Hey,
Phil. Thanks for having us on.
No problem.
I'm Todd,
and I'm Jim.
You mean Van Bose and Jimmy Paul?
That's right.
That is right.
But when we check into hotels, it's Todd Bose.
Yeah, because nobody cares about the ordinary. Ding dongs,
right? So they're here because they have a big release show next Saturday.
Yes,
in Providence.
Yep. Oh man, we do.
Yep.
Why didn't you tell me about this?
You start practicing tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much at this point. Yeah.
But they have this 7-song record called All American Awesome, and I got to say, this is very, very, very different from all of your other projects out of the band. You know, Down City Armory, Difference Engine, Dapter Dapter, Gremlins,
It stands to reason. I guess we're kind of a super group, I guess.
In a manner of speaking, yeah.
As far as Boston and Southeast New England independent musicians go, yeah, I guess we are. Because all our other bands are still technically active, so
right.
we count as a supergroup.
And when I saw the lineup, I'm like, okay, this is... very, very different. And then the inspiration behind the whole thing.
Right.
I heard the song.
This kind of started as a joke because Chris was on a Kiss binge.
You mean the Reverend CGB?
Yeah. Yes. Right. Sorry. I'm not used to using
Reverend CGB
names here. And then,
we have goofy nicknames for days.
Yes. He had sent out the track and was like, oh, Jim, do you want to do drums? And I was like, yeah, sure. So he sent it over and, Todd got reeled in to do vocals and, Rat Trick and Pants.
You mean Whack Trick?
Yeah, Whack Trick. Where are you, Patrick?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Jeez.
Come on, Patrick. But, come on.
Yeah, he sent me over the track, and we kind of threw together a quick demo, and I was like, you know what? Let's bunker down in the studio. Let's make this a reality.
Yeah.
And so we had a crazy weekend of recording and
drinking.
It was good.
Well, I mean,
no, it was
behind all water, of the inspiration had to have some drinking involved. I mean,
it's not a rock record without it.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, this is very different from Down City Armory and for Chris, the Difference Engine. He's not here tonight because he's going to see Norm Macdonald, little wanker.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess.
I like Norm Macdonald, yeah. So I don't blame him.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah,
I mean
Ratrick's wonderful woman, Gina, just got back from, you know, Chinese gulag. So, I mean, like... You know, I guess he gets a pass.
He doesn't get a pass.
No,
no pass.
I was excited to see Ratrick tonight. You know, I don't get to see him very often.
I know. He's like so great, and we never get to hang out with him.
Well,
Ratrick.
And since he's unemployed now and has all this time,
he's in school.
Surprised our phones aren't blown up right now. What the hell, guys?
Yeah, I know. You guys are throwing me
seriously?
Under the bus.
Throw you under the bus. I'll throw you under the train.
Oh, the commuter rail train?
Commuter rail it.
Okay. Well, that's a different band.
Linnea's supportive of everything Desk. She is.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Power Slut. They've been good to us. Yeah.
Yeah, and they have a record coming out pretty soon, too. So.
Good on them.
Oh, yeah. So, but we're here to talk about All American Awesome.
Let's talk about it.
So, you said Chris went on a Kiss listening binge.
I think he listened to the whole discography.
And the solo albums. And read all the autobiographies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, you see, I knew he listened to the whole discography. And I said, oh, man, the 80s must have been rough.
It was his mystical journey, I think. Like, this is his version of a Vision Quest, you know?
Okay.
Being the kind of Radiohead dude that he is. Like,
yeah. Radiohead, Sugar Rose.
Yeah, this was a coming-of-age story, 80s style for him.
I guess so. Damn.
Well, I mean... And he had said he just wanted to do, like, one track, and then it ended up being everybody kind of got on the email thread and was like, well, I got this idea, and I've got this idea. And, I mean, I just kind of put drums on it. I really didn't have anything to do with
well,
it.
Well, that's exactly it. Like, I mean, really, we got about as far as making the original demo for Cowboys in Boston, which you debuted.
Yeah, we'll be playing that one next.
A couple weeks ago. And after that demo kind of got around... That was when Ratrick came in, because Ratrick heard the demo. He didn't have anything to do with the demo at first. All he did was, after he heard it, was demand to join the band. I've never had that happen before. Like it
demand to join the
literally,
band?
Literally, like demanded. He said, I want to be your rhythm guitar player. Like, he knew his place.
Oh, wow.
Like, he chose his lineup in the roster. It was fantastic. And I was like, how can I deny anyone with that much vision? I mean... You know,
how did you rope in Pants?
Oh, Pants came in early. Pants, better known as Clinton Deegan of Body English.
Yep.
Who just had their record release-ish party
release-ish?
Last night.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
last
month-ish.
Night at Lily Pad? Yeah. Last night at Lily Pad with Schooltree.
There you go.
He's been a longtime friend of myself and Christopher the Rev, and he was asked first.
He was also the mayor in Batman Triumphant.
People who know what we're talking about when we say Batman Triumphant. They know.
Find it on YouTube.
Oh yes you can. And he was Mayor Kroll, who stole the show, and he is a absolute.
I don't know. I think Laugh stole the show.
Laugh of Barry Lumar.
Yes.
There were so many people that stole the show more than the lead actors. So, like, it was that. But Deegan, better known as Pants, yes, he was actually the first ass, and he's just one of the best guitar players in Boston. I challenge anyone to step up.
Listening, you know, you just played Wisdom of the World. If you listen to Wisdom of the World, that guitar solo that he did, he literally showed up to my studio And that was the first track we did, and that was the first take of the solo we
did. Are you serious? That was the first take, too?
That was the first take, and they said, print it.
That's not even the only one. That's...
Oh, no, wow. No, sorry. It was Love. Love, not Wisdom of the World.
Oh, no.
Love was the first
take. Oh, Love was the first take. Well, we'll get to that.
That take on Love
we will get to We will get to the track, Love.
But the solos on Wisdom are still amazing, and that's why
every
Pants
solo
is amazing.
He did is amazing. It's
jaw-dropping.
Unbelievable.
From start to finish.
But... Yeah, this thing is very bright, shiny, in your face, guitars everywhere, boom, boom.
That's
boom,
what we
boom,
wanted.
Boom, like complete antithesis of all of your other projects. So,
but also I think that's
what I like about the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, like we all come from that background. Everybody does.
Yeah.
Like if you've been alive for the past 30 years, that's what you come up on. You come up on all that kind of like old school rock and roll of Kiss, the Cult, Skid Row, whether you like it or not,
you
come up on it. And I think especially when you get to a certain point in your life where you're like, you're accepting of all your musical influences, it's good to go back and write some songs and make a record that sounds like this. I think more people should do it. I think we just did it because it was the right confluence of awesome. It was the right confluence of people and influences, people that were ready to say yes to doing a project like this, especially coming from so many different bands, Down City Armory being an industrial band, Adapter being a garage rock duo, Very Lumar being this kind of dark star rock sort of band. All these different people from so many different bands coming together wanting to make a record like this. And I think that was just the magic that was needed to make it happen.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's get into the single, if you will.
Oh, please.
How did you come up with the lyrics for Cowboys in Boston?
I'm so glad you asked, because I've always wanted to tell this story.
This part was not planned, everybody.
I remember because we had the music, and then Todd did his thing, and then I came back and I was like, this is great. This is awesome.
I have to thank my friend Mick Greenwood of Zerobot.
Oh, Mick Greenwood.
Mick Greenwood, he doesn't realize how important he is to this song, but he just shared an article on Facebook. He just shared an article that I read.
He's really good at that.
Yeah, he is. And the article was about how country music is one of the, if not the biggest music format in the greater Boston area right now. I know, tragic as that may sound, but
in my opinion, a lot of the country music that you hear on the radio ain't country music, but that's just my opinion.
But the article, which I think it was from boston.com. The article like basically talked about how the music had taken over, and along with it had come with a bunch of not so fun stereotypes and real life situations about I guess things that could be lumped into the categories of the way men in the scene treat women, the way the music perpetuates not so friendly stereotypes. And I thought to myself, I've grown up in Massachusetts. I grew up in the scene, and how is it possible that this kind of music has become so popular in a town that's so known for rock? Like, what happened?
Very true.
So this song is kind of a reaction to all these like bro country dudes that have come to dominate our musical landscape, and either through the popularity of the music or the money that they're willing to spend on it. And I was just flipping the bird, and
there you go,
and being like, you know what, Boston is still a rock town. It's always going to be a rock town. And
I mean, don't get me wrong, there are indeed good country and Americana bands.
They're not from post 2000.
They're not the ones.
they're not of the post 2010 school of country.
Right. They're not the ones that I'm talking about. And I think they would know that.
Oh yeah, they do.
Know who
they
I'm would. Talking about in this song, and it's not them. It's that Nashville country.
It's pop country.
Yes, exactly.
It's the pop commercial.
I would take out that country part of that terminology for a lot of it.
And just call it pop.
I mean, This song probably has my most favorite line in it. I'll have everybody listen and have them guess what my favorite line is. 91.5 WMFO.
Was voted up online today. tonight. We come, cause God's love digital. God's love digital. God's love digital. God's love digital. It's okay, it's safe, and do it anyway. All day, get his name and let those haters hate. It's not right for you to act this way online. But if the whole damn world is gonna try to curb girls and ladies shine, your most dangerous lie. So tonight, we come, cause God's love digital.
diamond if we hung it up. Tomorrow, and set out all the royalties. When you say it means nothing, I believe you as much as I believe your love can freeze. Promise to some comedian with the younger face will show. He'll say something awkward right off the top of the script, and you'll have to kiss him. You'll be leaving me. Cause I can't tell the difference in the smile that you show off in syndication, or that you save for the boudoir. Between your matter and your precious style, getting older just like you are. Just how long do you think you can keep them happy for? Swing your hips and thighs and laugh, begin to down what's left. Then you won't have to kiss them anymore.
Thank you.
91.5 WMFO. That was Calvin Ball from their performance in 2014 right here at On the Town with Mikey D. And that one features Patrick, i.e., what's his name? I'm not looking at the liner notes.
Ratrick. Ratrick, there we go. Better known as Whacktrick right now for ditching us tonight.
He's bailing on us.
And I'm so upset. I'm actually, after this interview,
I really wanted to get beers with him after this. I really did.
Yeah.
Well,
screw you, Whacktrick.
Well, Whacktrick was supposed to be here. And, we do wish he was here. And I had an ulterior motive because he was one of my cohorts in my project, Ease Into the Noise. And we were supposed to sign a CD for a couple of people who bought CDs.
Can you feel the guilt, Patrick? Can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
It's all about you.
But, he's probably not even listening right now.
Not at all.
A quick funny story.
I wouldn't be if I was him either.
A quick amusing story before we get back to desk. There's a track on the Ease Into the Noise record called The Ever-Present Disconnect. And everyone around here knows Jason Dunn from The Luxury and The Halogens and all that stuff.
Yep.
And as the RPM Challenge last February was going on, we were sending each other songs back and forth. So I sent him that song, and he actually asked me if it was you, Todd, singing.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so sorry to disappoint you, Jason. I had nothing to do with that. With that record, I sincerely
he was genuinely shocked when he found out it was me singing that.
Well,
he thought it was you.
The question is, did he think it blew? Like that's the
no,
question.
He liked it and actually inspired him to write a more ambient song on his RPM record.
Oh,
so. I mean, it like I said.
So I was influential without having to do anything.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Right. Exactly. I thought you would like to hear that.
Thank you. That's a first. Sorry, I never heard that one.
All right. Now back to desk.
Yes.
So the album All American Awesome is out next Saturday.
Next Friday. Technically. Friday, May 20th, it becomes available for download.
Awesome. And there are physical CDs.
And they came out awesome. Thank you, Reverend, for putting in the effort.
Yes,
and,
the
getting
Rev.
These to look incredible.
But I do have to ask, because I'm looking at the artwork right now. Are you expecting a cease and desist order from Kiss?
No, he actually said that is on, what is it, freefonts.com or
whatever?
It's
available. Yes, it's...
I forget what the name of the font is.
Dynasty.
Is that what it
Dynasty.
Is?
Dynasty. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because we were actually concerned about that. We were like, oh man, like, are we going to get a cease and desist letter?
Parody laws support us. If we have to go that route. Honestly, like, Desk is...
What are you going to do? Give Gene Simmons the $10 you might make off the record? I mean, I kid. It's going to be $10,000.
What are you talking about?
Everyone knows that.
This is going platinum, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
But it does speak...
When is the last record that went platinum, by the way?
Probably Taylor Swift's.
You think so?
No.
I don't think so.
No, there's something even more recent than that.
Who cares?
Billboard anyway. Desk will be the next one.
But it does speak to a lot about, I guess, the origins of Desk, because when we were first writing songs and coming up with the genesis of the band and what it was all going to be about, there was a moment where we were like, are we just a Kiss parody? Is that all we are? Like, because we're rendering the band name in the Kiss font and everything. Like, and if that works for people, yeah, we are great, fine. But truthfully, no. Like honestly, as things evolved from the first demo to the entire album, there was a definitive level of seriousness. Like, no, we really are our own band, and even though we kind of
ape
the 80s, I guess, or whatever it is, like, we do borrow from those genres,
but
it really is our own stuff. We're very passionate about it, so like I'm very glad to present this record to people.
So I got to ask, because it basically started off from Chris listening to the Kiss catalog, writing the music to Cowboys in Boston. What was the turning point saying, all right, yeah, we got to do a record now?
So I am kind of a perfectionist when it comes to recording.
Okay.
So he sent me the track, and it went to Todd. Todd laid down his vocals. It went to, I don't know if, did Patrick and Deegan lay down guitars at their places or not?
Well, actually, it was Chris's demo.
Trying to remember.
Deegan solo, right. Me vocals, you drum.
Right. So, and I don't know, there's just something about it that was a little robotic in the demo, and I was like, guys, this is unacceptable. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna come down to my place. We're gonna book the studio for the weekend.
Turbulent Studios in Attleboro, Massachusetts.
That's,
everybody,
it's my spot. And I was like, yeah, let's just. It was Columbus Day weekend, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I think Friday night I picked.